Today's episode is brought to you by Lola. For 40% off all subscriptions, visit mylola.com and enter code VERYPINK when you subscribe. We care about the ingredients in the food we eat, in the beauty products we use. Why shouldn't the same be true of our feminine care products? Lola is a female-founded company offering a line of organic cotton tampons, pads, and liners. They started their company with a simple and seemingly obvious idea. Women shouldn't have to compromise when it comes to feminine care products. Lola products are 100% natural and 100% easy to feel good about. Plus, Lola comes in a simple, customizable subscription, so you'll never need to make another frantic trip to the drugstore. Lola will deliver exactly what you need, exactly when you need it. And really specific to this podcast, the women listening, we know about organic, natural fibers. So I know that these products are appealing to me. They've got to be appealing to other knitters too. Major brands use a mix of synthetic ingredients in their products. They can pretty much put anything in there, and they don't have to say what it is. That includes a possibility of using harsh chemical cleansing agents, fragrance, and dyes. Lola products are 100% natural organic cotton. And this is good. For every purchase, they donate feminine care products to homeless shelters across the U.S. For me, I've been using Lola for a few months now, and it feels like I have someone like on my team. Like the package arrives, and it's beautifully packaged, minimal packaging. There isn't like a lot of packaging, but it's pretty, and it arrives in plenty of time for when I'm going to need it, and it's convenient, and I'm really impressed with this company, also knowing that all of the products are organic and natural. We have a coupon code. If you go to mylola.com and use the code VERYPINK, you'll get 40% off your first order when you subscribe. Totally worth giving it a shot with 40% off. The link for this promotion is in the show notes. Welcome to the Very Pink Knits podcast, the companion podcast to the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel. I'm Stacy, and I'm here with Casey.
Hi there.
Casey is the media manager here at Very Pink, and she's also producing this show. If you'd like to get your question on the show, your knitting question, just email it to podcast@verypink.com. Please tell us where you're from. And this is episode 95. So if you would like to see the show notes that we have for this episode, just go over to verypink.com and click the podcast tab at the top of the page and everything will be there. Mm-hmm. Yes, Casey?
We only have 5 episodes before our 100th.
And we have done no planning. Our 100th party. It's like we have a big plan. We don't have a plan.
We need a plan.
We can just like do a recording and have some cake.
We'll have a 100th podcast episode cake. I like it.
Okay, well, if we're going to have a party, we better get on it.
We got a plan. We got 5 weeks to plan.
Okay. We'll figure it out. Well, yeah, actually, that's kind of a lot of time.
Yes, that's plenty of time to plan a podcast party.
A whole wedding party at that time. Mm-hmm. We can plan a cake. I mean, it would be
there
nice.
There needs to be more than cake.
It would be nice if we actually had something going on, like a live recording or something, right?
But there's some kind of excitement for our listeners, too, not just because they can't have the cake.
Right. That's why
maybe
I was
they should all make their own cake and eat it with us.
Okay. That's not really as fun as it might. I don't know. Maybe it is fun. I want cake now.
Well, hurry. We have to.
We finish recording. We can go have cake. Yes. We can go practice eating cake for the 100th episode. Okay. Everyone needs practice eating cake. Yes. Wait. Before we get into the questions, you have an interview.
I do.
Okay.
So this came along somewhere in my social media feed, I think in Twitter, actually. I met with Suzanne Thompson, and she has this exhibit called Celebrate Doilies. And it's happens to be in Austin this month from May 2nd to June 3rd. And so I went by when she was setting up, and we talked about this whole exhibit.
Okay. I am intrigued. Let's listen.
I'm Suzanne Thompson, and we're at the German Free School in Austin, where for the month of May, we're going to have the Celebrate Doilies exhibit up at the building where people can come see it.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about this exhibit and how you got started. And
well, as a knitter, you know that when people find out you knit, they will maybe tell you about their grandmother who knitted or their mom or whoever, and that happens to me a lot. And I guess for a few years I started hearing stories about family doilies. People would say, I've got all these doilies from my mother. I've got them in a drawer. I don't know what to do with them. But I love them because, of course, they remind people of their loved ones who have passed on. And I started thinking about that. I thought, there is something here. I just need to figure out what to do about it. I started using doilies in my own work in about 2015. And when I was offered the opportunity to do an exhibit, I thought, well, it'll be great to have my stuff in there, but really this is about other people's family memories and about their doilies that they have in their drawers and things like that. So I ended up interviewing people in my area, which is Comanche County, Texas, and beyond, and asking them about family doilies. They told me stories about the people who made the doilies, and they were so wonderful and interesting, and I felt I've really found this treasure of memories and pride in family work. Mm-hmm. So I made posters out of the interviews, and I took pictures of them, of the different like doilies people had, and those were part of the exhibit too.
Cool. So what did you find? Did you find any kind of like common themes besides the pride and all those things you mentioned?
I discovered, because the people I interviewed were of a certain age, mm-hmm. that their families were farmers mm-hmm. in North Texas or North Central Texas, mm-hmm. and they lived hard lives. They didn't have a lot to spare, mm-hmm. but they had that desire to make their surroundings beautiful. And I often hear too stories of people who garden, of like grandmothers who gardened. They had the most beautiful gardens, mm-hmm. and they had doilies in their homes, because that's something they could do to make their surroundings beautiful, even in bleak times.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. And so what are some of the stories that have stuck with you?
I'll tell you a couple. One is, my favorite one, is of a lady named Orlena Salyers, who went out to New Mexico with her husband to be a homesteader. Mm-hmm. And she saved the string from chicken feed sacks. And she crocheted a doily about 18 inches across with the chicken feed sack string. Well, I thought, I wanted to do that too. But we don't have chickens, which is kind of a problem. I did start saving the string from my cat food sacks. Each one's about 5 feet long. Yeah. They're red. Yeah. And I crocheted a little tiny piece. I'm no more than 3 inches across, 3.5 inches across. And it took me 5 strings.
Wow.
So I thought, how many strings did she use? A little figuring led me to think she probably used at least 200 strings.
Oh my gosh.
And you know how many ends that is to sew in?
Oh, gosh.
Twice as many, 400. And I thought, no, not going to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess if you got to make do with what you have, you have chicken strings.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of farming families saved string mm-hmm. because you never knew
yeah.
when it might come in handy.
Yeah. So we talked about some of the things in the exhibit. Let's just tell everybody about the poems, and let's talk about your piece here that's got network.
Okay. One of the people I met who had family heirloom doilies was Sandy Horton, a poet from Waco, Texas. Mm-hmm. And she asked me, instead of my interviewing her, if she could write poetry about her family doilies. And I said, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. So she ended up writing not only about her family doilies, but about some of the wall hangings and about crochet in general. And she had 15 poems in the show. And we have been presenting our presentations together ever since.
Great. And then you showed me the piece that has knitting. So just for our listeners, a lot of you have quilts that are fabric quilts with doilies incorporated.
Mm-hmm.
But the piece that we were just looking at, and I'll take a picture for our listeners, has knitting incorporated. So
yes, because I wanted to be an artist even as a young girl, but I never quite made it because I heard all this stuff about how artists were always hungry and I didn't want to be hungry. But eventually I became a knitter, and I thought, well, could I make art with knitting? And through a long process of learning and reading and trying stuff that didn't work and stuff that did, I developed a way to knit yardage, stabilize it with interfacing, and then cut it up and sew it back together and quilt it. And that is so stable that it can hang without stretching out. And then it's also strong enough to hold up a lot of my favorite embellishment, like crochet flowers or buttons and things like that.
Yeah, it's a really interesting piece. It adds like depth to it and just something I would have never thought to do with knitting.
Well, good.
So what is it? So you're going to have this exhibit in other places. Where else can people see this in the future?
It will be at Tarleton University in the summer of this year, of 2018, in July. I don't have any place for it to go after that yet, but people can go to my website, and on the very first page of my website, there's this thing that says where you can see Suzanne's work.
Okay, great. And do you plan on just continuing to exhibit, or do you have other plans? Or
I plan to continue exhibiting this as long as I can. I'm looking for someone to package it, or like to take care of the everyday workings of a traveling exhibit. So that's my next step I'm going to work on. Mm-hmm. And I do have other projects in mind, mm-hmm. other exhibits in mind.
So do you get doilies from other people that they've given to you, or have you collected them at different places?
I've collected them at estate sales, mm-hmm. from eBay. People give them to me. So kind of a mishmash. I've never crocheted any of the doilies that are in my wall hangings.
And let's talk about this big piece here that we have, your outdoor doily.
My outdoor doily. I have two of them because, you know, you need some kind of something that is eye-catching. Mm-hmm. So I made these big doilies to hang outside of the first gallery that the show was in, and I've used them ever since. Speaking of saving things, mm-hmm. my dad is also a child of the Depression, where people saved everything, because who knew, mm-hmm. when they might not have anything to save. Right. So for years he saved baling twine. It comes around the big, large hay bales, mm-hmm. round hay bales. Mm-hmm. And he told me that I could knit something with it. He'd been saving it because he thought I could knit something with it. I wasn't too thrilled about that idea. But when the...
How big around is it?
It's over there. It's about a quarter, maybe a little less than a quarter inch across. It's kind of a flat, mm-hmm. oval, mm-hmm. shape. A little wiry. Mm-hmm. It's kind of plasticky. I'm not sure what the content is.
Yeah.
But it cleans up very well. It's kind of shiny and slick. When I thought I would be making large outdoor doilies, I asked him about it, and he was very happy that I was finally going to make something with this baling twine.
Well, that's great. Well, I appreciate your taking the time to share with me. I'm going to take some pictures and share it with our listeners. I think this is really interesting and just appreciating the heritage and the skill and the people recycling things from long ago.
Well, thank you. And I think what sometimes we love to speak to each other because we're all so fond of knitting and crochet, mm-hmm. but there's a whole another group out there, right. that loves crochet even though they don't crochet. So I think this kind of brings us together, yeah. in appreciation of the craft. Yeah.
And if anybody is in Austin listening or nearby, what are the hours of the...
The hours are a little short. They're Wednesday and Thursday from 10 to 4, okay. and all through May. We're also going to do a presentation called What to Do with Oma's Doilies,
oh, yeah.
on June 3rd at 3 p.m. here at the German Free School,
oh, great.
Which is 507 East 10th Street in Austin.
Perfect. Well, thanks again.
Thank you, Casey.
Yeah, it was interesting. What caught my eye originally was she has a book that's like a stitch dictionary that's vintage. Instead of being able to like share an actual dictionary, it was actual little samples of different lace patterns. And so that's what you would have to do if you were a knitter or a crocheter. You would keep your own, you know, stitch pattern book,
yeah.
with actual stitches. So
wow.
It's really cool.
Do you have a family history with doilies?
My grandma, I think, made some. I know my mom, not doilies, but she would crochet kind of a doily, and she'd made some angels that were really neat. And so
Right.
We do have.
You know, also there are something that I've actually done is the crocheted snowflakes are kind, mm-hmm. of a doily.
Yeah.
The Christmas ornament snowflakes.
Yeah, and you starch them.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a lot of, my mom did a lot of those like in the 80s and stuff like that.
Do you still have some of this stuff
stored?
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not good at storing stuff.
Doesn't that interview make you want to check back and see what you have in storage?
Oh, and what's I think it's cool. Most of what we have is quilts.
Right.
That are like family heirloom stuff.
Like sewn quilts or knitted quilts?
Sewn.
Yeah, I have a few of those. Mostly it's all knitted and crocheted afghans mm-hmm. in my family. I do have some doilies, I guess. I don't know. I want to go back into the boxes and find this stuff and email mom and have her go through the boxes and find this stuff. Very cool. Thanks for doing that interview.
Sure.
Okay, we can get into magically turning knitting questions into knitting answers.
Okay. Hello, girls. I finally have a question. I'm knitting.
Finally, we have been waiting for Elena from Greece to send us a question.
I'm knitting my second cardigan and used the 3-needle bind off to join the shoulders. And for the sleeves, I have to pick up stitches around the shoulders. But this way, a hole appears on the shoulder. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. Should I pick up on the bound off stitch to avoid the hole? If yes, how should I do it? Because I find it hard. The pattern said I should start picking up at the underarm. I hope my question is clear. Thanks for turning knitting questions into knitting answers. Elena from Greece.
Hi, Elena. This is a good question. And yes, when you're picking up stitches for the sleeve, most patterns will have you start in the underarm just because if they're the you're going to have the ends there, you know, the ends that you have to weave in, and it's in a more hidden spot if it's under your arm and not at the top of your shoulder. But you're going to start, you're going to pick up stitches around. You're making a face. Am I missing the question?
No, I'm sorry. I'm reading ahead.
Okay. If you're picking up stitches around and you get to the shoulder, you pick up a few stitches and you see that there's a gap or something, the answer is yes, pick up more stitches until it looks right. Mm. And the pattern designer, they can give you as much direction as possible, but ultimately when you're knitting it, you're the one that's taking a look at your work and seeing what you're doing, and you have to kind of be ready to make modifications on the fly based on what you see. And so if picking up the stitch in the bound off stitch makes it work, do it. It's a Tim Gunn moment. You make it work.
Tim Gunn moment.
It's a Tim Gunn moment. And she was saying that she thinks it's going to be hard to pick up that stitch. I'm not sure why it would be hard, but I would tell you that sharper needles when you're picking up stitches always makes it a little bit easier. That might help, mm-hmm. I think. But yeah, it's just make it work however it is. When I'm picking up stitches, I'm constantly like stopping and looking and seeing how it looks before I go on to make sure that I'm checking my work far more often when I'm picking up stitches than kind of like anything else.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Thank you, Elena.
Hi, Stacey and Casey. Thanks for creating informative and entertaining podcasts and videos. My question, is there a trick to finding the start of a new skein when it isn't obvious? I sometimes have to reach inside and end up pulling about a third of the yarn, then untangle the mess. Karen in Marathon in the Florida Keys.
Hi, Karen in the Florida Keys. Yes, this is called yarn barf that you're referring to when you try to find the end and you end up pulling out a huge clump of yarn and it kind of makes a mess. When you're looking at a skein of yarn, not a hank of yarn, something that's already pre-wound that you get from the store, take a look and at the label. If the label is written right to left, your end is going to come out of the left side.
What?
If your label is written top to bottom, your end's going to come out of the top.
I never knew that.
Really? I haven't said it on the podcast before?
No.
Okay, should I repeat it?
Yes.
Okay, take a look at the label. If it's printed left to right, your end's going to come out of the left side of the skein. If it's printed top to bottom, I'm talking with my hands like this is helping. If it's printed top to bottom, the end's going to come out of the top of the skein.
I think you should do a video about that.
Just I like, have.
You have?
I have.
Okay.
It's called Skein Ball Hank, and it explains... Yeah. It would be something that if you were like a more experienced knitter, you probably wouldn't click on because you know the difference between these things. But I do have the little trick in there about how to find the end of your yarn.
I think you should call it How to Avoid Yarn Barf.
How to Avoid Yarn Barf. Would it break
it would
the
break
internet?
The internet.
That's what I'm always joking about breaking the internet because my videos, of course, they get good views, nice little steady thing going on, you know, with new subscribers and views and everything. But I've never achieved that thing that most YouTubers are always trying to do, which is like that viral video that just goes nuts and everybody watches and shares. I have never expected that for 1 minute with my videos.
It doesn't show up on BuzzFeed
it doesn't
or
show-
Huffington Post.
No, it's never been picked up by CBS News.
Breaking the internet. Yarn barf.
That's it. Okay, let's keep going.
Hi, Stacey and Casey. This time my question is very simple and maybe kind of silly. Could it be because I'm from Buenos Aires and here we don't do these, a knit along? Yes, my question is how an online knit along works. I put a lot of effort in trying to understand Ravelry and I feel so frustrated. I'm a 37-year-old woman with internet access and this is outrageous. The joke is on me.
She's cracking me up.
I know. I write like I'm out of my mind, but no worries. I'm perfectly fine.
She has to convince us that she's fine. That's funny.
I just hope you have the patience to answer and I may fulfill my dream and share experiences with fellow knitters. Thank you for your lovely video and podcasts. No name.
No name. She's out of her mind, but we're not supposed to worry, but she doesn't have a name. She's perfectly fine. Casey, I am going to turn this over to you because You have just started or about to start on a knit-along.
A mystery knit-along.
Tell us how it works and what it is on Ravelry.
Well, a knit-along is just like, I don't think I've ever done a Ravelry knit-along. Well, everybody just chooses a pattern and knits that thing and shares it in a group.
Okay, but where were you doing if it wasn't on Ravelry in a group?
Oh, I mean, it is in a group. That one is in a group. But I've never done it before now, is what
I'm
saying.
Are you perfectly fine? Are you losing your mind?
I am losing my mind.
Okay, so you can have a Ravelry group. All these people are knitting the same thing at the same time. And tell us what the fun of that is and the mystery part, or if not mystery.
Well, the mystery, you don't get the pattern, full pattern, until you get clues as you go. Or you get the first part of the pattern and the next part of the pattern. Like, you don't really know what's going to happen at the end. So that's the mystery part. But knit along is just an opportunity to knit something with other people and share your progress. And then if you have questions along the way, there's people support you.
Yeah.
I guess I did a knit along technically with my Carabeth sweater from...
Okay.
Because I hashtagged it and then because Mason Dixon Knitting just shared the sweater and they're like, let's bang out a Carabeth. And so anybody who did that and tagged it in Instagram got
kind of shared.
Oh, you
were all knitting together. Okay.
Kind of like, let's get this done in February or whenever it was, January. So I guess that's technically a knit along. So it's really just a thing where you knit the same thing as other people and you share, and doing it online allows you to ask questions or just share your progress, that kind of thing.
The Handmaid's Tale thing that you're doing with Jimmy Bean's Wool, that's actually a knit along that they're putting together where everyone's using, like, it's a mystery, so you don't know, but like they're putting together the yarn kits for it, right?
Yeah,
but most knit-alongs is just like, get your pattern, get your yarn, join in.
It's usually, this is the pattern we're doing together.
Right, okay.
You can use whatever yarn that fits that pattern. But yeah, the Jimmy Bean's wool, this was specially dyed.
For this knit-along,
because it's a Handmaid's Tale, so it has to be dark red.
The red is perfect.
I know.
I think the red is perfect. But now our lovely no-name knitter here who's losing her mind from Buenos Aires. A knit-along is actually really fun, I was thinking, because you don't have to live in the same area to do a knit-along. The knit-alongs that are online, you can be from anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, and still have friends knitting together. Mm-hmm. It's like your knitting group.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you get frustrated, if there's a question about the pattern, or if you, whatever, you just what you would do with another friend if you were knitting together or the same thing.
Right. All in the same boat.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's in the same boat.
Yeah.
Well, that was, I liked her question. I hope she writes back and tells us who she is. She's a 37-year-old woman with internet access.
In Buenos Aires.
Yes.
If you find her.
If you find her, send her to us. We'll get her on the show. Okay, that we have to stop for this time so we can eat cake.
We can practice eating cake.
I don't have any cake for us to eat, so we'll just have to plan on it later. Casey, if people want to find you online.
My website is kcknits.com, the letter K and the letter C.
Okay, and you can find me on the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel or on verypink.com. And that is all we have for this week. So until next week, stay warm, my friends.